let's re-record all of that because that was ass. Let's re-record all that. That was fucking stupid.
What the hell's going on?
You are witnessing a front three-quarter view of two adults sharing a tender moment.
Let's kick his ass. My main goal is to blow up and then act like I don't know nobody. Let's kick his
ass. How you people doing out there? All right, party.
You look like you need a hug. You're not gonna get one from me.
See? I just kicked Stan! Calm down, Sean! Don't tell me to calm down!
Oh yeah, let's kick his ass.
Terrorist propaganda! Mao Zedong would have loved you!
I'ma stab and put a lemon in the gash.
Pokemon go to the polls!
Let's hook him up to jumper cables, hit the gas.
I'm just unabashedly and unashamedly broadcasting my obsession on the internet.
I'll get you for this. You won't escape my wrath.
His body in a trunk. Then let's park the car somewhere and blow it up.
Sorry, Link. I can't give credit. Come back when you're a little richer. Let's punch
him in the face. Okay. You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I fucking want to stay on parade. This is the bad
guy. You shoot right up here.
So today is Wednesday, May 7th. We got Winning Time, Mr. Dream.
Yo.
And finally back again for the third time, Eric.
Hello.
Smart dog.
Yeah, my schedule's been a little crazy lately. Sorry, pussy eaters.
This is going to be a summer of chaotic pussy, though, because... Mm-hmm. As considering we're all educators and or chronically unemployed, summertime is our time to shine.
Yeah, I actually did find out. So we talked about the summer today. So I am technically working over the summer, but I make the schedule again. So somebody asked, "Does Wednesday mornings work?" And I said, "No, they do not. They don't work."
You're like, actually, that's when I'm doing my real work.
So have you ever heard of the Chaotic Pussy Podcast?
Stickers
coming soon.
Thank God. Because I was, I was stickering at the stadium last night, and I thought to myself, there's so many potential pussy eaters in the crowd out here tonight.
They'd only consider eating if they saw the stickers.
That's what I'm saying.
They wouldn't be in the normal lives.
Can you imagine standing at a urinal, though, and you just see, like, the logo, and it says Chaotic Pussy, and you're like, that's probably hot girl shit.
Dude.
And then they get our podcast.
So stickers are great, t-shirts are great, but imagine if you're at a urinal and you're pissing, you look down, the urinal
the cake
says Chaotic Pussy.
Damn. Anybody out there, any pussy eaters in the urinal cake business, please reach out. But yeah. Mr. Eric, do you have any, you know, this is basically a podcast formed on hot takes and autistic rants. Do you have any hyper fixations as of late you would like to pop off about, or is there anything going on in your life you need to process via podcast instead of therapy?
So not really. The only thing that I've been kind of on lately is just people to be like more accepting of their own state of their mental health.
Uh-huh.
So I exclusively have mental health conversations throughout the week all the time, being a mental health professional and everything.
Right.
And I got to tell you, the thing that kills me the most is people that put undue expectations on themselves to never feel anything but what they categorize as a positive emotion. You know, like the full gamut of emotions are fine. And what I've been telling everybody, this might be a little too big for chaotic pussy.
No, this is, I mean, we usually save the...
Well, the thing that bothers me is people who speak so far away from the goddamn microphone.
Yes. Oopsie. I did remind him once already, so the second time was on you.
Oopsie.
You're just a relaxed boy. You're just like, hey, I'm just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
If it can help, I mean, you could sit over here and then you don't really,
need the
back support.
No. I'll listen to Mr. Cameron.
Well, you're also a very soft-spoken individual, being a mental health professional by trade.
Yeah.
But yes, as you were saying, talking about how people think that like happiness is like the ideal emotion and not that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not too heavy.
Is it not?
I mean.
Should I be sad instead?
It's more that it's okay and even normal to experience all of the emotions.
Oh yeah, the range is healthy.
Yeah,
the
range is healthy.
I feel like happiness should not be the ideal I'll be the one that says I disagree with that. I think happiness should be ideal.
I mean, you would want to experience joy and happiness, but putting such an expectation on yourself to feel it 100% of the time and to, like, bury a sadness feeling or, like, an anger feeling. Mm-hmm. I always tell people it's not up to you what emotion you experience. It's up to you how you respond to it. And that's an important thing, I think, because especially whenever you think about, like, regulating your own emotions, mm-hmm. you know? It's important to recognize where you're at and to be cool with that. You have to be cool with that first. And I've just met a lot of people in my life lately that are not cool with that. And it just, you know, it makes it tough, man. I've been there too.
Yeah, Rebecca's having breakdowns because her birth control makes her hormones just way more depressed. And just every month she collapses and is like, I'm not as happy as I was 4 years ago. And just all the time, and like, I'll stay up to 3 a.m.
Are any of us really as happy as we were 4 years ago?
Actually, I'm kind of happy.
I've actually been, yeah.
I'm kind of happy.
I've kind of been on cruise control since 2016 myself. Right. 2020 actually pissed me off more than anything. But
2020 turned it all around for me. Everyone had to stay in their fucking homes, and my life went up.
Gamers were fucking thriving in 2020. What an incredible year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm someone who has leaned into the sadness aspect of my life in a way that allows me to still, I think the thing that I struggle the most with when I'm feeling, you know, the quote unquote bad feelings is actually still being in community with people, because that sadness leads to isolation for me.
Yep.
And so, which then just exacerbates the symptoms where you're just longer and longer in those bad moods, you know?
Yeah, that's really the main thing, because I've also, like, I work in school, so all these conversations are taking place in, like, the most social spot you could be, maybe, is, like, in a fucking school. And if you're, like, in a school, and if you're already in, like, a shitty mood, but you're trying to, like, pretend like you're not in a shitty mood, and everything that you're doing is going to be, like, it's going to have a background of, like, I'm being shitty about this positive thing I'm trying to force, and then everybody around you is like, oh my god, this person hates me, this person... whatever. And I'm just like, dude, we're all trying to do math here, man. If you're not having a good time trying to do math or trying to, like, write this essay, yeah, for sure, math sucks and essays suck, but we're here to get it done. And, you know, just tell me where you're at. Just accept where you're at. Tell me where you're at. And then we'll figure out what we got to do. It's fine. I love you anyway.
On that, I'm so excited in the fall to do a creative writing elective for the 7th and 8th graders.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Just to have them pour their feelings out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They I'd be totally fine if they just wrote about, like, what about their life sucks into anything I'm teaching them.
Giving prompts to 7th and 8th graders was really, really fun. That's always one of my favorite things to do.
Seeing them use their brains for the first time in their lives.
Just being like, I used to tell them all, before I got deathly ill and lost my job there, I used to tell them all, like, we always used to start with writing, and I used to just set a timer for 10 or 15 minutes, and I would give them a prompt and just be like, I don't care what you write about, I don't care. But just, you write the whole time. Yeah. And the only reason that you don't get the points for this is if you, like, pick your pencil up.
Yeah.
But just write whatever it is. Even if it's the same word over and over again, just write.
Yeah.
Some of them would come up with the most, like, just the craziest fuck shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
No, I also am going to implement the 10 to 15 minute warm up for my thing as well. The other thing I wanted to do before I leave Maryhill, if I stay there for another half a year, is I want to do a film elective as well, just because I feel like I want to get these kids to read, and I think it'll be easier for them to understand books if they could see patterns in movies and then use those skills to take it to books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get ready to dive into the secret meaning of all the Marvel movies, maybe, if they ever have to bring it.
There will be zero Marvel movies on the syllabus.
That'd be interesting. I would love to sit in on that. That'd be so funny.
Did you guys, when you were in middle school, what were your experiences like doing creative writing yourselves? Because I'll say for me personally, and I don't know if this was just not my skills. I mean, I'm clearly a yapper, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all I do is send you guys voice memos.
Man loves to yap.
I just fuck. That's just
yapped in America.
But writing things, yapped in America. But writing things down was always tough for me. I remember in 7th grade in particular, once a week on Fridays, we would have creative writing, and you had to write, you know, a page and a half. And it was like the hardest part of my school week every week was locking in for 45 minutes and doing creative writing. Just at a certain point, I did unlock, because I wanted to be so analytical and creative. I think I wanted to be perfect. Mm. And eventually I realized, oh, I can just write whatever. And like, so then I just started writing stories about like writing or the pencil or whatever, yeah. you know, like I saw in front of me, and it was just nonsense. But for whatever reason, breaking, that was really hard for my brain to kind of wrap my head around, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a creative writing, like, early morning elective in seventh grade. And just what I did immediately was the prompt could be bravery or chocolate or whatever. I just took it to just pure, like, a made-up Lord of the Rings-style fantasy world and just made the prompt of characters I make up for that world and just incorporate the prompt that way.
Easy to turn everything into a video game at a certain point.
Yeah.
Just an adventure comic.
Yeah.
I also loved the image in my head that I got of your English teacher for that segment of time, just writing chocolate or whatever as the prompt on the board. I couldn't come up with anything else, class, just chocolate or whatever, honestly, whatever. In my middle school, I was a part of, English was the only subject I ever just automatically did well at. That's why I became an English teacher first. And I got my first degree in creative writing specifically. But in middle school, I was a part of a club called Power of the Pen. Yay. And we would
meet up. You're in the Pen 15 Club?
We would meet up twice a week after school to just write nonstop. We would start with poetry, and then we would do creative writing, like stories. And then on the weekends for like a season, like a sports season, we would go to other schools and participate in Power of the Pen competitions. And me and my sister would do it. And I always won in the short story category. Mm-hmm. My sister always won in the poetry category. Mm-hmm. So, like, we were both very, very good at it.
I love that.
Nice. But it was also because, like, our mom was, like, you know, she was an English teacher herself and, like, an English student. So she was just reading us crazy shit.
Right. And when you're
just nuts shit.
It's crazy how to actually see that effect. I was reading at, like, a fourth grade level in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that was because of my parents, you know, putting different books in front of me.
Yeah.
Neither of who are big readers themselves. So I don't know how that worked. Exactly, but
just read it once in an Oprah magazine, and they're like, fuck yeah.
Okay. It did also result in me just being like a huge asshole for a long time, because academically speaking, if you're a child that reads at a higher level than your peers, you're just smarter. Like just straight up.
Yeah.
Math, and then you're bored. Math doesn't matter. Yes, math doesn't matter. Okay. Social studies doesn't matter. If you can just understand the words that you're looking at more or easier, I just remember being in like third grade and, you know, you start reading out loud, or fourth grade, and kids like stuttering over like the most simple phrases. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, you know, again, being bored or whatever. And then it just leads to behavior issues.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Acting out to try to be funny because you're just bored as fuck.
Yeah. It was rough. But eventually I just stopped caring about actually going to class at all once I got to high school. So, you know, it sorted itself out.
Wait, were you a big skipper?
Skipper.
By the time I got to junior, senior year, I started skipping because at that point I learned... especially senior year. Second semester senior year, once you're already accepted into college, it's like, well, if they already accepted me, why does any of this matter? And also, as soon as I learned that states receive funding based on attendance, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you just want me here so you make money. That's why I have to take five classes.
There's a census day.
Right. That's why I have to take a full day's worth of classes when I only need government. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you. I'm going home and playing World of Warcraft for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I graduated. My senior year GPA was like a 1.7.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I graduated like a 3.3 or something. But
Damn, you graduated with a 3.3?
Something like that.
I had to work my ass off to get above a 2.5.
Yeah, I had a 2.8.
I did nothing freshman and sophomore year. Like, I was one of those kids that was like a straight 0.0 student.
4.0 to 3.6. To 3.3, and then senior year was like a 3.1 or so. I can't remember what or 1.7.
Just above a 3, though.
Yeah.
For sure. Firmly above a 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking, were your peers literally potatoes up in Idaho? Like,
yeah.
I think.
Hey, what's the curve look like in all of these classes?
I think if I was less of a manic depressive and more of just an anxious baby that like cared what authority figures thought, I would probably have been more of a simp for, you know, education and my teachers. But as I started, I've always had the like fuck the boss type mentality, because that's what my folks always talked about at the dinner table. So when I got into high school and I could tell a teacher just didn't know what the fuck they were doing, I was like, well, fuck you. We actually got our English teacher fired junior year because she was a new hire, and she clearly just had zero classroom management skills, and she did not make it to the second semester because she was just like, it was one of those things where, like, we just call her out on her lies and her bullshit, and she would just try and punish us. And we're like, no, you're actually just wrong. Mm-hmm. And she just, I don't know if she had never taught at that level or what. I mean, this is North Idaho. It was not like a rough school by any means. It was just, you know, teenagers. I had this thought. We were talking about happiness earlier, and I think it's less about being happy and more about being at peace, you know, with mm-hmm. whatever feeling you're experiencing. And also, it's not ever a solitary feeling, you know, like if I'm stealing this from my guru, but if someone were to ask me on any given day at any given moment, are you happy? I would say yes. And then if another few moments passed and they said, well, are you sad? I would say, yeah, I'm sad.
Yeah.
You know, like there's multitude. We contain multitudes at every moment.
It's crazy how, and maybe I'm just a slightly younger man, but like I'd have years where I go back and forth being like, I could die tomorrow and it's okay versus no, dying right now would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Like it could be within a night where just like, yep, I just would rather be dead. All the problems go away. I don't have to stress about anything.
Yeah.
Or just like, I haven't done anything and like, I'm happy with people I see.
For me, the closer we get to the date of like a new MMO expansion, the less I want to die. GTA.
MOP, baby.
See the chaotic pussy boys and miss the Pandaria Grobulous Alliance.
So anyways, I'm going to level up Warlock to level 90. And then I'm going
to... We'll save it for the second half.
I'm going to goon at the character select screen for sure.
We flipped the coin. Usually we do the more serious subjects in the second half because that's... Right. We feel like... I don't know if we've ever discussed this, but my mentality is if someone's going to tune into Chaotic Pussy for 15 minutes, they probably want to hear more gooning talk rather than political talk.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we get them in with like the weird meme-y bullshit. And then the second half is when we say, welcome, comrades.
put your cocks away. Gooning's over.
Fucking quit your gooning. It's time to fucking...
If you haven't gooned to completion yet by minute 30, it's over.
Now let me slip in a few Mal quotes here in the second half.
Well, that's the thing with, you know, when we named it Chaotic Pussy,
yeah.
I'm like, a lot of it is going to have to come from you because I've had a steady partner forever. But then just, you know, you get banned off Tinder and just like you'll be in a depressed state for 4 months. I'm like, there's no goon to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I got some goon stories going. I've got some old goons coming back. We're, you know, reigniting the goon fires. Shout outs to the hot commie Latina who I talked about. She's back in my life again.
Hell yeah.
Did you guys see her in the group chat? She's sober?
Uh-uh.
No, she ain't sober, but she's definitely like, I mentioned she rejoined the group chat and said, oh, hey, I unblocked you. And I have a big like pussy eater group chat, right, on Instagram. That's just like all the homies. And she's in there and she says like, I said, oh, hey. I was like, by the way, I talked about you on the podcast last week. And she said something like, oh, you were thinking of me?
Get owned, simp.
Yeah.
She rules. I think it's one of those things where, like, clearly we're not, and I'm sure she's in a similar place, where it would not work out long-term romantically, but, like, we should definitely be homies, so, like, let's not burn a bridge.
Yeah.
Let's goon.
Let's goon.
Well, honestly, let's just goon.
Let's goon up.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any bridges to burn. I know you two, Fox... And a couple of Rebecca's friends, and that's it.
That's all you need, brother.
I know. I'm not asking for more. I could be someone who I just literally have one life partner, and that's fine. I know it might be a little crazy, but I'm very in my own fucking head, and it probably comes out in the studio when I drop shit that no one else knows.
Yeah, I think that's sustainable for your 20s, but at a certain point, you are going to actually blow your fucking brains out if you don't have friends outside of your partner.
Well, again,
it's just how it goes.
That might be the goal.
I mean, it is. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, depending on how the world goes. I have more of a social circle now than I think I ever have.
Same.
For sure. Yeah. And like what I...
It takes so much fucking effort, dude. It's so fucking exhausting having friends.
It was at the start, but now like I guess that I've just been getting more like excited about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even if it doesn't happen all that frequently, it's just like, oh, like I go through spurts with this person or spurts with that person. And it's just more exciting to me now whenever I'm like in the middle of a spurt. I'm like, oh shit, I've been seeing this person a lot.
I think... And we're speaking more
like social gooning
about male friendships here, right? Like men.
Definitely. Well, that's been a bigger focus for me and like in the last year or so. But yeah. I mean, really, it's just kind of all over the place because like coming out of COVID, like, it was just like shitty thing after shitty thing happened to me. So I was like, no energy to hang out with anybody.
Yeah.
And then just, like about a year or two ago, right around the time that another shitty thing happened, I was like, damn, man, like I need to, what if I just made more friends and just stopped feeling weird about being like, hey, we should hang out.
I dry out for a little bit. You're still done with cigarettes, yeah? You kick that shit?
Yeah, that's been done since the beginning of this year.
Fuck yeah.
And also, just to be clear, it was not a New Year's resolution. I don't believe in those. It was just a momentary thought that happened to coincide with the beginning of the year, the first week of the new year. But yeah, it's been all finished, which I also will say... sucks ass. Nicotine is the best. I can't believe I can't believe every single person has been breathing regular air this whole time. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Have you noticed an increased lung capacity or anything? Like when you're walking around?
So the thing that made me quit, ironically enough, I coughed.
I mean, I mentioned it. You started thinking you're...
Well, I started
thinking the muscle memory of your lungs.
No, but I was talking about this the other day because Allie didn't know the reason because I just got up at like midnight and just chucked the vape away and like all of the stuff. Yeah. I had like brand new coils, brand new like little vape juice. I was like, I am done with this.
Yeah.
And it's because I was laying on the couch. I took a massive rip of it, produced a beautiful cloud. You know how we do. You know how we do it. And then the next breath that I took sounded like somebody just like laid down in a pile of leaves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? And so I, just stood up right then and I was like, I'm done. And I threw it all away. It was so scary.
Yeah.
Because I'm also 35.
Right.
So, or I was about to turn 35. Mm-hmm. So I was like, already kind of thinking about my own mortality. And I had just gotten over like a deathly illness too. And so I was like, fuck, I don't need another thing that's going to try to kill me here soon.
Cameron, have you ever smoked a cigarette?
No.
Fuck.
God, you're missing out.
I've had gummy edibles and that's about it. that's about it.
Joel's spit take?
Yeah, that's the coolest thing you've ever said in your life.
I know. So no tobacco whatsoever?
No. No tobacco.
Wow.
No hookah?
No.
Wow.
No hookah.
Hookah's actually cool. Hookah's like, because hookah's right. Like cultural.
That's social too. It's like you sit in a circle and do it. It's different than going out back and like degenning a cigarette in the middle of a rave or some shit. You know what I mean?
Hookah is like I think most people experience that as, most white people experience hookah as college freshmen.
Yep. You're 18. You go to the hookah bar. What is this?
Whoa. Oh, we had our own.
You got a head rush, bro.
We had our own hookahs in North Idaho. We got the hookah out. Oh, yeah.
Does anybody have any foil for these coils? I just cooked them.
Oh, dude, I'm not going to get my deposit back. You just burned a hole in the carpet.
If you don't make sure that the coal is red hot in the middle, then you're going to ruin the whole bowl of shisha.
Were both of your parents big smokers?
Nope. My parents have never...
Yeah, see, okay, so mine were.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. It's a rejection of the parents' culture.
Well, yeah, and just, my mom smoked while I was inside of her for 5 months.
Hell yeah. Mm. That makes one
a lot. Yeah. Your mom frequently smokes when I'm inside of her, too. Both of my parents did not smoke. My dad smoked. He would go and he has all these stories about buying $5 bags of like 20 shitty joints with his friend before he joined up with the Air Force. Yeah. And my mom like is prideful on the fact that she's never inhaled anything before. And so I was like, okay, yeah, that's totally. But then I had a girlfriend that,
got you into it.
Yeah, we were 18 and she just picked up a pack of smokes like day that she turned 18. And I was like, oh, totally. I like you. And so I did it. She thought that I was cool. Mm-hmm. And then I was a basic lights boy until 26 and a vape boy until I was 34.
Breaking news. The phones are listening because I just got a text from Kaiser randomly saying, if you're not feeling your best, you could always try an e-visit for your mental health. So the phones are listening.
Confirmation. Let's see if we all got
it. I didn't get one. But I'm also off Kaiser, because fuck Kaiser.
I got kicked off when I quit.
Yeah, good. Kaiser will kill you. They're the ones that almost killed me. Fuck Kaiser.
My mom was always cigarettes forever, and I think she stopped about 10 years ago.
Good for her.
And then my dad he smoked cigarettes for like 1 year and said, this is stupid, and went to cigars.
Badass.
And then after divorce, went to pipes.
Fuck
yeah. Hell yeah.
And then remarried, it's like, all right, I only smoke cigars in the summer.
A corn cob. If I had a patio, I would absolutely have a corn cob pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and smoke real tobacco occasionally. My father this was before I was even born, or maybe when I was still a baby. He dipped for a number of years.
Fucking gross.
Well, that was also like, I don't know where he picked that up at, but that was also the culture in North Idaho. Like, in, if you're a high school boy, you constantly have a can of Grizz Wintergreen in your pocket.
Yeah. Like in the car, in the little center console or whatever.
Every guy on the football team dipped. I never really got that into it. I think I didn't. I only bought like one or two cans myself. Mm-hmm. It was fun to get crossfaded, like when you started drinking and then you put a dip in and you're like, oh, my head feels weird.
There was never an urge to dip because in the ninth grade on the wrestling team, we went up to a wrestling camp at the lovely Ohio State University.
Our wrestling coach
took us, and he was like a super famous wrestling coach, but he dipped all the time. Mm-hmm. And he had two water bottles. One empty filled with dip spit and one that was full. And his son was sitting in the front seat with him, went to go take a drink of water and then like threw up for like 30 minutes straight going through farmland up 71 in Ohio. And we were like, what happened? And when he finally got it out, he's like, I drank the dip. And we were like, we don't even know what that means. But then we like looked up and saw just this sewage cesspool of a water bottle.
He drank that stuff from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, dude. Man, that movie just keeps coming up in here. Thank you, Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, that famous 80s movie.
Yeah, it turns out it's an 80s movie. Who would have thought?
The only dip I had was Tostino Scoops.
I liked that one.
Oh, we were talking about male friendships. And, I think...
Scoop.
I think what helps a lot, and what's difficult past like high school or college, because we're all fucking nerds, right? Playing games and shit. It's tough to get together to do that stuff as an adult. Mm-hmm. But you have to find, and like getting together to play video games as adults doesn't feel as good for some reason.
As like texting your buddy when you're 20 or 21 and being like, oh, you want to
come over and spend, come over and spend all Saturday on the couch. Like that.
Bring your laptop over. We'll set up at the kitchen table.
I think that still has some appeal, but I think things that are more tied to the real world, like,
Wrestling
or Magic the Gathering. It's literally called The Gathering. Like things that get you together in person and it's a shared interest or whatever, but like leads to more conversations.
Does your like little post Mary Hill Discord like get together for like the debates on and like shit
they
like
do,
that?
So I'm a member of a RP server, a role-playing server, but it's not Dungeons & Dragons, it's politics. Have I spoken about it on the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the Democratic Republic of Parang, I believe is the name of the country. So instead of, you know, being a wizard or a barbarian, you are a representative or a senator of a political party. And yes, they do live debates. I haven't joined any of those. I mostly just shitpost. I did recently change my representative's name from my online handle of Mr. Dream to my actual name because everyone else on the server uses their real name.
These boys sound like they get a lot of chaotic pussy.
Absolutely. I post in there whenever a new episode goes up. I don't know if they listen, but if they do, shout outs to the Parangians in the chat.
Shouts out to the political nerds in the chat.
We're all autistic here, boys. Don't worry. This is a safe space. It's a really refreshing community to be in because they are 13-year-old boys truly in the same way that like we pretend to be 13-year-old boys, you know, calling each other gay and autistic all day. It's very fun to be in there and see their, but they're not like being mean to each other. It's all just like, you know, in the shared spirit of camaraderie and trying to figure out who they are. There's guys in there that are constantly taking like personality tests to determine what kind of autism.
I'm an ENFJ.
What kind of autism they have. Like, it's fascinating just because, you know, none of that stuff existed 20 years ago when I was their age. So. Yeah.
According to this test, I'm Bumblebee from the Transformers.
What does that mean for my college prospects?
What office character am I? It also seems like maybe a side benefit could be that you actually get good at talking politically instead of getting very, very angry whenever you talk about politics.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing. Is like,
which is tough. That's a really hard thing.
It's tough when they give you no good reason to speak good about it.
Right, yeah. Well, it's tough when you're pissed about it all the time.
Because they do horrible things always.
Yeah.
But what they're able to do in there is they're able to really talk about current day issues and being like, wow, this country is a fascist hellhole, without buying into the idea that it's some utopian democratic, you know, representation of government or whatever.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan's checking in right now, for sure. It has been, my friend. It has been.
It's pretty incredible to see that they are almost fully rejecting the mainstream discourse from both liberals and Republicans and saying, no, we recognize that this is all bullshit. And, you know, here's the ways that historically, you know, citizens have gone about changing these things in their countries. So it's a really cool, server to just be a part of, just to bear witness to. And then occasionally I get to pop in and they get really excited because, you know, I'm posting, you know, memes or whatever. There was something recently where there was some vote that happened and there was an election where some seats were reassigned as far as representation goes. And the Communist Party of Pahrang, of which I am the leader, gained 17 seats, which like increased our membership or our representation, like over like 200 or 300%, was like the largest, you know, gain percentage wise or proportionally in the House. And so I was reached for public comment and my comment was just GG, get wrecked, nerds.
That's the politics we need in this country. That's
the one that we need. Where all the people role playing as fascists, just like, oh, dang.
They check that.
Oh, man.
We still have a fascist party. It's, I think they call it, it's similar to the AFD, which is the German Fascist Party. I forget. It might be the same acronym. Mm. But they've since recognized that, like, role playing fascism is a little bit tougher than just, you know, screaming slurs all the time. So I think they've learned.
No, it's not.
It isn't on a real level. But as far as like, you know, if you're trying to play with that idea in a safe place, like there's a way to go about that that's not going to upset people because you're just constantly spewing like vile rhetoric, you know.
Mm-hmm. If I was RPing as one of the socialists, I'm like, AFD, what are you, a fucking dumbass?
I can run it by the president, and we might be able. They might be willing to expand it out. I know. I think it is. It's more or less they're also like their social circle. They all don't go to the same school, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's the way a lot of them keep in contact with each other too. So I recognize if they. I haven't asked if they would like any other members to join. But I've definitely thought about like just bringing in some of my homies that also just like to goof and gaff about politics. I feel like it would be really fun.
There's an overwhelming amount of angles to make fun of this from. Yeah. I'm paralyzed with how many angles there can be.
Well, they constantly just accuse me of grooming them. So it's just
good. Good. Yeah. Good on them.
That's what's so funny about it. They're just like, yeah, this fucking 30-something old man in here. Fucking weirdo.
Yeah. It's welcome to the CP podcast.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome to the CP.
CP. Yeah. CP Unite.
I said something. There was some good CP bit I had the other day. I can't remember. It's just fun. I was saying something with you. When I was visiting, there was something we said about CP.
That's like the only thing we talk about.
Yeah. We're just
there it is.
I always got
CP. That's the foundation of our friendship.
I always got CP on the mind.
I always get CP on the mind, on the phone, on the computer.
You know when you upload these, it asks, there's a checkbox on the RSS to say if it has explicit content or not. And I've never checked it because I feel like that limits the exposure. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I've checked it every episode I have with you.
maybe it doesn't. Maybe it would actually result in a larger gain. I don't know. I've been trying to think about that stuff, like, because I sometimes now I'm posting to Instagram and stuff on the podcast page, and I'm using all the generic hashtags to try and get people's eyes on it and stuff. To little success, of course, because the algorithm doesn't give a fuck. But
well, yeah, you are personally blocked from, you know, Tinder and many other things. They're not gonna wanna, you know, support you if you go out here. They're gonna want to bury you as much as possible, that's like true. Triple H.
That's a good question. Just to back up quickly, it's been mentioned twice. You got blocked from Twitter?
No, or not from Tinder. Tinder, yeah. So on Tinder and Hinge, which were owned by the same company at some point, or still are, a couple years back, I got basically like KOS, and I think it was due to me being like grandfathered in with their premium plans. Like I was paying a much lower rate in California compared to other folks. So I think an engineer just did like a back end thing. Because I was much less radical on there. I was trying to fuck anybody basically back in the day. So I wasn't really straight up with my politics. And now I'm like, you know, openly saying like, you know, murder all cops on my profiles in ways that allow me to post that and get away with it.
And now they're just like, die alone, pussy.
They're like, that's just,
you know, you'll never fuck again.
Do it on the streets like a man.
Until last week, Cameron and I think it was last week, I had signed up for Chispa, which is a Latin dating app, Latino Chispa. Dating app.
Chispa.
I don't know that. It must be a slang term that I'm not familiar with.
Chispa.
Chispa.
It feels like I'm not allowed to say that.
Well, here we are. You look like you could have a little Latino in you.
Me gusta. De nada.
De nada.
So there was this guy that...
Por supuesto.
It just means spark, guys.
There was spark. Okay.
Okay, that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chispa. Now, there was a guy that I worked with at a restaurant here in Sacramento that would get really upset if I said de nada. Because I just think that's funny just to say. Just nada, specifically, yeah. Like nothing else. Just de nada is really funny to me. Yeah. But he would get very, very upset. And I had to tell him, like, hey, like I don't mean any ill will.
Yeah.
It's just a funny thing to say. Like, I like to mispronounce all things, you know? He's like, don't do it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, my friend.
De nada.
High school Spanish would go... Me gusta hamburguesa. So we'd all just say hamburguesa for what we want to do.
Man, I wish I knew Spanish so well. But I did. My college did such a shitty job of teaching me functional Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, an infinitely terrible job of getting me to the point where I was confident to speak it. Fuck you, Professor Lardis. You were awful.
And McClatchy, you're no better. Your Spanish system fucking sucked. I could survive. Yeah.
Dude, that's the cool. That's like one of the coolest high schools I've seen.
I know. Yeah. People wrestle our teachers. It's awesome. And throw them into fences.
God, I need to work there someday.
No, McClatchy's rules.
I drive by it pretty regularly because while I'm going to charge the Marksmobile, it's just off that street.
Nice. We had a yard duty that was pretty into CP.
The real kind, not the podcast. Fuck.
Do they still work at the school?
No, they got arrested.
Oh, okay.
Because they were on Tinder and they matched with one of our seniors.
Oh, nice.
Hey, wait, is that the closest that you came during your, like, either as a student or as a person who works in a school?
No, I've came many times.
Is that the closest that you've come to, like, being in front of a person that was doing some fuck shit in a school like that?
No, we had, you could look this guy up, Mr. Fritz.
That is a terrible name for a pedophile, is Mr. Fritz.
Well, he didn't do pedophile things. He showed up hungover on Halloween, so he's in clown makeup.
Okay.
And he got in an argument with one of the students and threw a desk at her. So then they arrested him, and his mugshot is him with, like, clown makeup running down his face.
That's sick as hell, dude.
Yeah, that honestly goes so hard. That's a Teacher of the Year award.
He didn't even know it was Halloween. He was just going out. It was just regular Tuesday night.
I'm tired of them laughing at me.
I'll show them all.
The next day at school. Honey, give me my vodka. I'm going to fuck this kid up tomorrow. The closest one I ever got, I have two. And when I was a student, my sophomore year, this was at, I'm blasting them, Lakota East High School in Liberty Township, Ohio. My sophomore year, my... social studies teacher, forget what her name was, but she was having sex with, sending panties to, and like not wearing panties and sending him the shorts from her day, like nasty shit like that, to the star senior running back on the football team.
Hell yeah.
And she was my social studies teacher, and I remember that he always used to come into the room and they would always be like really flirty, and me and my friend Seth were like, yo, That's weird as fuck. And then
it's like one of those things you just look at it and you're like, there's something going on.
Yeah. And then when it finally came out, I got sent to the principal's office because I had the audacity to meme it from day one. Like moment one. They were like, hey, Miss Johnson or whatever her name was, got like locked up. They were fucking. And immediately I was like, damn, like, I hope I could get as much action as that one day. And then the teacher was like, office, go to the office right now. And there was like threats of suspensions and shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Miss Johnson.
Yeah.
I was walking down the kindergarten hall of the school yesterday, and just one girl kindergartner is like, you're a vagina, to another male kindergartner. And the male kindergartner immediately goes to the teacher's like, what's a vagina?
Did you hear a response?
The teacher went, "What did you say?" He's like, "A vagina. What's a vagina?" And then she's like, "We're gonna have a talk about this."
Yeah. It's the genus of a plant from South America. She was just calling you a plant.
You're a plant boy.
The second one that I've got is the guy. So as a part of like my master's program, we had to do a full year working in a school, like an internship, right? Uh-huh. And so I was working as an intern for the guy that led the department at the school, the counseling department at the school that I was at. And he was like, "What would be most helpful is if you helped out this counselor that we just hired. It's his first year." And I was like, "Cool." So I worked with this guy for 6 months. We go away on Christmas break. We come back. I go to check in with him. Mike fucking Sickles, fuck you too. I go in to check in with him, and his office is around the corner. So I go around the corner, and it's police taped off. And it turns out that this guy had not only been doing some fuck shit at the school as a counselor, like, you know, flirting and like texting kids, like off, you know, creepy shit. He also had been a coach at an all girls Catholic school in downtown Cincinnati for like a couple years and had like a full blown sex ring with those girls on that team. So he got fired. Cue like 3 months or 3 years later, when I got my first job after my master's program, I walk into a community agency that's all about working with kids. And who the fuck do I see?
Yeah.
I got that motherfucker fired from two jobs. You know, that's nice. Sick. Two jobs. I walked over to him. I immediately was like, nope. And then I just closed the door, walked around to his boss. I was like, "I need you to know about this."
We've talked about this a bit before. And obviously you've been in education like your entire life. So maybe it's just
20 years. Baby.
Maybe it's just that's what ends up happening. But it feels like you have seen more like abuse than I think most would, or at least in a way that
I think it's been a strange amount of it.
Yeah,
it seems to be very
some weird. Would argue there is a common denominator in all these cases that you've experienced.
Yeah, those fucking kids. Those kids are the common denominator. What are they doing? What are they wearing?
They're asking for it, officer.
We also got a guy fired from the school that I worked at in Denver. Yeah, because it's just people just being creepy. I can't believe that adults don't know that you shouldn't say and do some things with kids. Like, that's just insane to me.
Well, I think the inherent thing here is the power dynamic, right?
The power dynamic.
Yeah. Like,
you automatically
have power. A 23-year-old dating an 18-year-old, while a little uncouth, happens all the time on a college campus. But if that 23-year-old works at the high school, that is a different thing.
The 18-year-old is a senior still at the high school.
That is a different thing.
Way different. It's a power dynamic.
That's pretty common, especially most of the abuse cases I've seen where it is a male student and a female teacher or employee, it's usually a younger female.
The line is blurred.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the tough part starting, because I was teaching like by myself in classrooms at 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And that was always the hardest part. I was with ninth graders.
Yeah.
So like, the separation was still there, but it was like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is way different than now. Like, I walk into a room and like, I have gray hair. All of my students think that I'm old as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, finally, yes. Thank you. You are going to listen to me because now you think that I'm old.
I think.
Spoiler alert, I'm not, but.
Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty old at 36. God. Please God.
No, actually, I don't feel old at all. Really? I still feel young as fuck.
Well, you were on the brink of death for a year, and now you've like put on like 30 pounds. Like, you are filling out.
You're
having a second puberty, basically.
I was thinking about this the other day. I gave you the wrong impression.
Huh.
I haven't really gained that much. I put on a solid and steady 5 pounds always. So like before, I was hovering around 165 the whole time, and now I'm hovering around 170, which feels good because it's meaningful weight.
Yeah.
It's not just that I ate a big breakfast. I'm like,
okay.
You know, but I was 200 pounds before.
Maybe
I dropped down to 155.
Maybe it's just your skin isn't the color of a ghoul anymore from Fallout. Like, you just look a little bit more.
Trying to get sun.
Yeah.
Vitamin D.
You look like your heart's pumping.
Well, I've also been fingering my own ass lately more consistently, and that really jives me.
I saw a TikTok that said, yeah, if you do a little prostate stimulation twice a day.
Yeah. Yeah, you go finger deep. Mm-hmm. So anyways, pedophiles in schools are awful.
We had.
I'm putting in a boost sound effect.
We had. So the only pedophile or like close to it that I am familiar with during my school days was actually one of my favorite teachers.
Oh.
Mr. Wood, the economics teacher.
Once again, amazing name.
Yeah.
For these guys.
Ryan Wood. And I even read his, like, he had some books that were put out. Mm-hmm.
Like, he was an author?
Yeah, he like wrote like some memoirs type stuff about just growing up in North Idaho.
Sure.
Yeah. But the school I was at, Post Falls High School, was his second school because his first school, St. Mary's, he ended up, I think he was already married, but at some point he ended up leaving that partner and marrying a former student. So not necessarily, you know, while they were in school, was it a thing? But it's like you're in like your late 20s and you're starting to date like a 19, 20 year old. The big G grooming word comes up, right? Like how much contact?
When did this start? How much contact did you have before? Yeah.
Dude, and this is such a small town. Speaking of St. Mary's, I should actually mention this. This actually can tie us into, if we want to yap about politics a little bit here at the end. St. Mary's recently, school district recently stated that their teachers will now all be allowed to carry firearms and they don't have to disclose if they are carrying said firearms.
You know, somebody asked me recently, like from my personal life, they were not a teacher. They asked me what the bad part is, like what the bad part would be about teachers carrying guns. They were like, you know, the security officers aren't doing a good job of protecting those students. So if we arm every single teacher, if there is a situation where there's a safety threat in the school, then every single teacher is trained and armed to be able to handle that. And I said, my response was, I don't trust adults in most situations to discipline children appropriately.
Yeah.
What the fuck would I do if there was a, hey, I don't trust you to talk to
kids. And they're front of the classroom and they got a gun.
They've got a holster going. And at what point, like, what are we going to finally tell those Second Amendment nuts, like, you can't bring it, you have to bring in a pistol? Like, what are these fucking idiots going to, how soon are we going to have teachers open carrying AR-15s around with the neck strap like they're in fucking the Navy, the Gravy SEALs going up in there? Like, dude.
And to bring up a very boring point, it's like, if teachers are already, or people who strive to be teachers sneak into being a pedophile, like, all right, oh, I could be in a state where I could just bring a gun to my kids.
Yeah. Hey, do this or else. Like, dude, there's going to be so many issues. And it's going to be quick before some racist piece of shit blasts some non-white student, and then it's just going to be totally excused. And that's what's going to be happening. Not to get off on my horse and everything, but
that's what we're here for.
After Columbine was when we started to see the community resource officers, specifically in Aurora, Colorado, being placed in every single school. Yeah. And that spread from the middle of the country all the way out. That's why I had one. That's why we all had one. Mm. They have never, and I mean never, prevented a school safety incident from occurring. They have never done it. But what they have done is increased by over 1,200%, I believe was the last statistic that I saw about it, the arrest rate of students in schools. Yeah. So we're locking our doors. We are having police officers guard the classrooms to make people stay. And all for what? Like, our schools are just becoming prisons.
Yeah.
And now we're arming all of the teachers.
Oh, which every six-year-old would agree with anyway.
They're prisons.
They already were in certain parts of the country, right? It just has been exacerbated since the mid-2000s and, you know, the war on terror and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's top to bottom. I think it starts with education, where you get into these schools that don't teach you anything besides about George Washington. Like, somehow history ends after World War II in this country. Like, they don't teach you anything.
History starts in 1776. Yeah,
Vietnam is a page, you know, in most high school. Or it's like you're in and out of Vietnam in a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Desert Storm or anything more recent.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. Like, and obviously by design, but.
Now, on the opposite note, for McClatchy, very good at that. The history teacher is very good at talking about America being evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Base.
Yeah. I mean, you have to give like the full, I remember talking to so many people about like the different banned books when I was a teacher. Cause even back then when I was an English teacher, like this was 2010, 2011, somewhere in there. Maya Angelou had like half of her books were banned. Yeah. And it's like, why are we banning like all of these really? And they were also talking about like banning. That was when like To Kill a Mockingbird was about to be banned like nationwide. And it's like, dude, we're like
Anne Frank's Diary.
Yeah. Wait, did they ban Anne Frank's Diary?
Yeah, because she like was fingering herself and having lesbian thoughts.
Yeah, we definitely don't want that in a puritanical society. Yeah, I have a lot to say about schools, especially politically. I feel like I could talk about it all day.
I feel like I started this episode trying to argue, like, we should strive to be happy, and now it's like, the world's a pedophile.
Uh-huh.
The world is a vampire.
It is, though. If you pay too much attention, though, you will get bogged down with it.
Well, that's why you have to go out and fucking paint the streets.
Play Magic the Gathering.
And scream fuck the police.
Well, be a part of communities. That's been the biggest thing for my own like mental health and happiness and all that other shit. And this is coming from a person that spent 10 years learning and studying about mental health, is that like I realize that if I'm not doing just the lowest hanging fruit, I'm not setting myself up to cross over any other bridge ever.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at it all the time, but like all the times that we meet up with the pod and we just go play Commander, it's a meaningless activity.
Yeah.
We're not doing shit. We're just getting angry and happy all at the same time about our little fucking cards, but it's so important to have a community out there of people that you love to see, that love to see you, that you're all having fun. Because Allie always says, my beautiful partner Allison always says, that our joy is the revolution. I think she stole that from somewhere, but it is true.
It is good.
It is true.
What's fun is about those type of quotes is like, there's a part of your brain, maybe this is just me, there's a part of your brain that's always like, that's fucking cringe. Mm-hmm. But that is the part of you that you have to kill. Because like the revolutionary optimism is a very real thing.
Yep.
And honestly, it really hasn't gotten that bad. Mm-hmm. We all have food in our fridges. We all have internet access. We can yap openly about this shit, and there's not a knock at the door.
We had a lot to bet. We had
there are my phone notifications.
The phone is listening. Well, that's also the thing driving around in a fucking Tesla. I was every time my buddies and I are in there yapping about firebombing police stations, we are like, you know, also praising Elon so that he doesn't shut down the vehicle or drive it to the nearest police precinct.
Just go as soon as you go in a tunnel, you know, just
poof. I think Elon had a lot of good ideas. I hope he runs for president someday. Anyways,
turns out you can just buy it.
Yeah.
Roasted. I saw a mountain lion this weekend.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Rio Americana High School, like right down the river.
Like at the high school?
No, so it's like there's the school, and then like you cross over the little levee that's behind the school, and just there's a little nature path.
Jesus.
It was awesome.
What was your react? Like, was there already authorities there that were getting ready to tranquilize it? Or
No, it was like 8 in the morning, so we were like the first people out there, and just it was laying down, and we saw a rabbit next to him. Like, oh fuck, that rabbit is gonna be gone. But then we kind of just slowly backed away, and then we went around the other side because there was like just a little bush part blocking it off. We go around the other side, mountain lion gone, rabbit still there. So he
was close to his natural habitat. Then it wasn't like he wandered off a mountain and was lost.
They'd be found around. Not too common, but early enough in the morning, they could be seen on the river.
Oh, okay. Yes, because like, it reminded me of my elementary school, which was the John Brown Cougars.
Yeah.
But prior to that, we did not have a mascot. Mm. When I was in kindergarten or first grade, a cougar came down off the mountain and got into the school, and it was just him and the janitor there in the morning. And the janitor comes out of cleaning a classroom and is like, oh, shit. and it was just prowling around. It wasn't, you know, whatever, but funny. It was kind of crazy.
Shit is the only thing you can say.
Yeah. Like, fuck.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, when I hit a mountain lion, the only thing I said was Jesus. And then, boom, and then that mountain lion helicoptered into the snow.
Oh, Jesus.
So there was like, you know, it was a small enough town, Rathdrum, Idaho, where the guys who came to trank it, one of them was my neighbor. And I think he worked for a fishing game or something. I don't think it was just, you know, oh, let's call up the boys. But yeah, pretty wild way to get your school mascot.
You lived in fucking Springfield where everyone you know is just mob mentality over anything.
It was a cool place to grow up as a little white kid for sure. Mm-hmm. Would hate to be there now for fuck's sake. Fucking so many, don't tread on
so
me.
Many super to, cool people that think really well.
So many Trump flags.
So many literate guys.
So many Trump flags on top with Gadsden flags right underneath. And it's just like,
literacy's off the charts. You are,
yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel going. I mean, not as extreme, but Yuba City is also a pretty red county.
Oh, I love Yuba City. Yeah. It reminds me of home.
It's right, like, exactly.
It's,
yeah.
It's like, I love going up there for day trips. It's like, oh, I'm back home, baby.
We were traveling around Carmichael to go and buy single magic cards at stores that were 20 minutes apart. Yeah. And it was the same thing. Carmichael is just Westchester, Ohio.
That's all
that it is.
Yeah.
It's like completely transplanted. But they also say that about Sacramento, too, is that Sacramento is the Midwest of California.
I think a little bit. I think people do that to talk shit.
Probably.
But it's also like,
but the suburbs do feel like
they do.
Kind of like that.
I think we are very lucky, you and I, Mr. Eric, to live in Midtown, which does not feel, it feels modern in a way. It feels like a nice little bubble. In all the ways that is good and bad.
I wish I never had to leave.
Yeah. Speaking of cushy bubbles, I'm gonna move out of the place I am in Arden Arcade with Rebecca to go to Pocket. that neighborhood.
Oh, you guys are going to Pocket?
Yeah, we might be
You're going to be living near the mayor.
I know.
The mayor lives there.
We're living in the white neighborhood.
Yeah, you guys do need to live in a cooler neighborhood. Like, even your fucking street is, like, a main, like, it's like a highway.
Yeah.
Like, it's not walkable at all. No. Anywhere.
Yeah, and that's the part that she's excited the most about, is to just go outside and walk. And what's funny is we were looking at, like, Zillow reviews of the apartments we're going to live at in Pocket. And, like, three of them said, like, yeah, the landlord's pretty only want white people around. And we were both, like, looking at each other, like, giving each other Shane Gillis eyes of, like, well, yep. Might as well take advantage of that. Well.
Fuck Pocket. I do hate going down there, but I will say they have my favorite road to take. Mm-hmm. I like to take Riverside.
Yeah.
Back up from there. We had when we fostered our dog a couple months ago, that was the people lived down in Pocket. And it was really strange because all of a sudden it's just the nicest neighborhood.
Exactly.
It just starts to be the nicest neighborhood. And we were like, oh, fuck. Where are we? And is it already settled? You guys like already have the apartment?
No. We were just looking at two places there.
Okay. Applying for it?
Yeah. Okay. Going there in July.
Good luck. I hope it goes well.
Yeah. Well, as much fun as it is talking about apartments and moving, we should probably end the podcast.
I do have to piss.
Well, Cameron, you're not available next week, right? Because of finals?
I'm available Monday or Thursday.
Okay. You have to look at your calendar or whatever it feels like.
I'm pretty sure I'm only available Wednesday, same time.
Well, maybe we take a hiatus. Maybe one of us or both of us figure it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe I say fuck it to both of you and I have my boys Oscar and Tim, my in-building pod, commander pod. On and we just talk Magic the Gathering for an hour.
I thought it was just Oscar.
There's also Tim. Wow. He's Tim Owens. Tim rules.
Is he like OG like Magic?
Yeah, he played 20 years ago, and he's also a guy who has an encyclopedic knowledge of cards. So he'll be like, "Do you know Shocking Blast Dinosaur?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, it's a 2/2 with a," and I'm like, "Oh fuck yeah, Tim rules."
The only Shocking Blast Dinosaur I know is in the bedroom.
Hey, ayo.
All right, pussy eaters. Appreciate you. Love you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Mother, you had me, but I never had you. I just gotta tell you.